John Batts with Jonathan Schanzer, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who, in addition to all his other work, does a morning broadcast three times a week, the morning brief, on the headlines from the Middle East and from across the region, and interviews. And in a conversation in these last hours, I recommend with Congressman Brad Schneider, that's 10th Illinois, who just returned from the Holy Land, from Jerusalem, visiting with survivors. One particular survivor has just not gone back into the IDF, but also the families of, and also observing the mood and the business model of Israel. And Jonathan, I say the congressman looked to be upbeat as possible, but it sounds like this is a culture that is profoundly threatened right now. What is your measure?
My sense is that Israelis are defiant. They are animated. They're excited about the prospect of the way in which the People's Army, a reservist army, largely has performed. And they have done really great work, I think, in dismantling Hamas and doing so with minimal casualties, despite what you hear often thrown around in American media. But I think the real concern truly is twofold. One, the potential for a multi-front conflict during Ramadan. Ramadan is, of course, it is not an excuse for violence, but it is used as one. It's not a legitimate excuse for violence, but it's been used as one by Palestinians inside Israel, outside Israel. And of course, this is all stoked on by the Islamic Republic of Iran. They've created a holiday that they call Al-Quds Day, which is the last Friday of Ramadan, which is supposed to be a flashpoint between Israelis and Muslims. But, you know, I think that's kind of one broader concern, and that's immediate. And then there's one that is probably, I would guess, well, it could be days away, it could be weeks or even months away. And that is the question of a war in the north, as it is known, a war between Israel and Hezbollah. And of course, Hezbollah has a military that is equal in strength to that of a mid-sized European army with 200,000 rockets at its disposal, precision-guided munitions, and armed forces that have trained and fought alongside the Russians and the Iranians. So this is a formidable threat, and the Israelis continue to trade blows with Hezbollah. The Israelis are striking deeper and deeper into Lebanon. If and when a war does break out in the north, it could be really a devastating one, and I think that is the thing that has Israeli war planners staying up at night, worrying about what might come.
So far, Nasrallah has not endorsed anything that appears to be a major military operation. Is there an explanation that makes sense to you, Jonathan, why he's held back?
A couple of things. I mean, first, I think you have to remember, Lebanon is a country that is not solvent. It's bankrupt. It's collapsed. There is no political leadership. They can't form a government. And they are in debt somewhere to the tune of $200 billion. This is not even a country that you can bail out any longer, right? I mean, Argentina's gone through these sorts of challenges in the past, but they have an export economy. The Lebanese don't have one, and there is just really no chance of reviving this country that has been beset with corruption and illicit finance, prompted primarily by Hezbollah. So I think the group is aware of the fact that it's not exactly well-loved across specifically the Sunni and Christian sectors of Lebanese society. And even the Shiite, I think, at this point have to be a little bit concerned, given that Hezbollah appears to be dragging that country slowly but surely into conflict with Israel that would just be devastating to the country. So they are aware of what a war with Israel might yield for Lebanon, and they're concerned. There's also a theory out there, and I think it's an interesting one, that Hezbollah is holding its fire because the Iranian regime has asked it to. Now, you would ask yourself then, why would the regime in Iran request that its strongest proxy not attack Israel and not try to destroy the Jewish state, given that this is a mutual goal? Well, the answer there is that perhaps Hezbollah is being asked to hold fire until the regime in Iran acquires a nuclear weapon. And it's at that point that Hezbollah would be asked to step into the fray and to defend Israel, or defend Iran, rather, against an Israeli attack. And that is the theory that a lot of people have right now, wondering whether Iran is about to make a dash to a nuclear weapon. We know they have danced on the edge of this for quite some time, In fact, even recently, enriching uranium to weapons-grade levels, they walked back from that brink, but they are still very much engaged in this cat-and-mouse game. The IAEA, the nuclear watchdog from the UN, will be meeting next week, and they will be talking about this, and there is still a lot of cause for concern.
The Biden administration, about Hezbollah, do we have a policy from them about what is to be done, given this constant harassing of the border region? I believe the number is up to 100,000 people have had to evacuate. Does the Biden administration have an answer to Hezbollah's depredations?
Well, they, first of all, I mean, they've said just don't fight. That's what they told the Israelis. They said just, you know, don't, right? They said to Hezbollah, don't, and they've said to the Israelis, don't. The Israelis have agreed to focus primarily on Gaza and to postpone conflict in Lebanon. What's interesting, though, is that Yoav Gallant, the defense minister of Israel, just announced the other day, yesterday, in fact, on Sunday, that Israel's not going to stop striking at Lebanon, even if a ceasefire agreement is reached with Hamas. But the other thing that the administration is trying to do right now is to broker some kind of an agreement that would force Hezbollah to move north of the Litani River and somehow force both sides to go back to their corners. I'm not sure that's possible, but Amos Hochstein, the special envoy, that's what he's trying to do.
So the idea is to talk Nasrallah back from the provocations. That's the plan.
Right, because that's worked before with the arch terrorist out of Lebanon. Not really.
Jonathan Schanzer, Morning Brief, I recommend Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Jonathan and his guests, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.